Is it next Saturday or this Saturday? Next Saturday. This Saturday, June 11th, Waldy Plaza. I don't know why I get that name mixed up. Waldy Plaza Park. Brother Paul Murillo is hosting a community event, if you will, where there'll be ministry and there'll be distribution of clothing and things like that, food or hygiene products, free food, if you will, free, I think it's hot dogs and chips and sodas, but it'll be a community outreach, and it'd be good for everyone to who's able to come on out. It's from the hours of 12 to 4, if you can't be there the whole time, just even a portion of the time, just to come and bless them. Lord God, bless the Aquinos in Jesus' mighty name. Stop them, Brother Joshua. Stop them real quick. I know they got to go. They're getting ready to travel down the freeway. Did they keep going? Praise God. Stretch forth your hands towards the Aquinos. Father, see them safely to their destination. Let no evil befall them, no plague come near them, no hurt, harm, or danger come their way. Keep them active, alert, awake as they travel down Highway 5, as they travel down, Lord God, the direction they're going to Southern Cal. See them. Let the angel of the Lord encamp about them and go before them, preparing the way. Then no hurt, harm, or danger will come nigh them, and then return them home in like manner. Father, as Sister Michaela gets ready to go to Hawaii, bless her time. We love her. Oh, Master, as she is away, let the anointing be on her. Let the glory of God be revealed through her in Jesus' name, that she be bold and courageous in glorifying you. That, Father God, she will change the atmosphere and the environment. And the atmosphere and the environment will not affect her. But, Lord God, she'll be a light that shines in the darkness. See her safely to her destination. Let her have a joyous time, a joyous vacation, and then return her home ready to run for Jesus. We thank you and give you praise in Jesus' name. Everybody who agrees, say amen. Amen. Be blessed as you go. Travel safely. We love you. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, so if you want to go ahead and take the opportunity to bring your offering unto the Lord, hallelujah. And then once you're done with that, we're going to look at John chapter 9. John chapter 5 and John chapter 9 have kind of been the places that I've been in over the last couple of weeks, and it kind of got jumbled up, I think, but just to bring clarity, it wasn't the man at the pool of Bethesda who Jesus said, the parents said that he's old enough to speak for himself. It was a man who was healed when Jesus spat on the ground and made mud out of it, and then anointed his eyes, and then sent him to the pool of scent, also known as the pool of Siloam, but the pool of Siloam means the pool of scent. And so Jesus anointed the man's eyes and then sent him to the pool of Siloam and said, go there and wash. And the man went and washed and started seeing, bless God. It was that man who was born blind, that man whose parents, when the religious leaders asked them, you know, is this your son? And what happened to him? And they're like, he's old enough to speak for himself. They're intimidated by the religious leaders because they know that anybody that kind of gave credit and glory to Jesus was going to be put out of the temple. You got to be willing to be put out of things as you're serving Jesus. Amen. It may happen. Then again, it may not happen. But if it does happen, you need to be okay with, okay, I'm being excommunicated because of Jesus and not because of something that I've done. Peter said it like this. What did he say? He says, blessed are we if we are persecuted, you know, for being a Christian, if you will, knowing that the spirit of glory and of God resteth upon us. We might get there tonight just to bring clarity to that situation there too. But you got to be willing to go through some things in serving Jesus. They had to deal with it then. Jesus had to deal with it. The Bible plainly says that Jesus came to his own. Bless God. Water walking Jesus, blind eye healing Jesus, leper cleansing Jesus, the one who made the world and the entire universe, came to his own. He came to the Jewish people, and his own did not receive him. They rejected him. Jesus had to deal with that kind of rejection. You know, when you're coming to the ones that you love, and you're about to lay down your life for them that they might be reconciled back unto God, and they reject you, and you still keep moving in spite of that. See, that's the stuff that we're made of as believers. It's a matter of whether we're going to give over to it, or will we cling to our own lives and let the effects of people rejecting us or misconstruing or misunderstanding us cause us to shut down. Jesus didn't let them shut him down. He kept going all the way to the end because he knew that he was on assignment of the Father. And if he didn't do this, it would not get done. There was no other way. In Adam, we all died. But in Christ Jesus, we are all made alive to God once again. What Adam lost in the garden, he lost it for all humanity. Jesus gained back at the cross. And he's given it to each and every one of us freely. The Bible plainly says that we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. We have everything that we want. We're loaded. Bless God. Our bank account is full and overflowing. We lack nothing. If God is for us, finish it. Hallelujah. We are so blessed as the people of God. What a wonderful thing it is. Has everyone given? Okay. I want to join in. Can I join in with you? Oh, you sealed it already. You can stand to your feet now. All right, let's get ready. So now, Special Ops is this Saturday, June 11th. Somebody said, maybe Special Ops better have a meeting after service. But we have a couple of more of announcements. LTJ Luncheon at Vic Stewart's in Brentwood will be this Saturday at what time? 11:30. Praise God, somebody. Amen. They're going. I heard it. It happens in here. It does. You get so happy. Restoring Hope, as I announced with Brother Paul Murillo, from 12 to 4. Special Ops is 9 to 12 a.m. It's going to be a busy Saturday to the glory of God. Amen. Oh, Father, we thank you. We thank you for our guests that you sent. We thank you for what you've been doing and how you've been moving in our midst. Command the blessing on the offering tonight of your people that have given willingly, freely, of their own resources to bless you. Father, I pray that you will move on their given situations, whatever it may be, that they will suffer no lack, but you'll abundantly supply their every need, that you'll set before them an open door which no man can shut, that you will bless your sons and daughters, that you will give them favor, Lord God, favor with you and favor with mankind. Set before them open doors. Grant jobs, raises, promotions, bonuses, increase to your sons and daughters. And that we be good and faithful stewards over everything that you entrust to our care. And that you bless it, that it multiplies and increases. That it not only meets our needs, but it empowers us to minister to the needs of others. that we are always ready to give into the great work of God, that your work may continue in the earth. In Jesus' name, rebuke the devourer, rebuke poverty, rebuke lack. In the name of Jesus, abundantly supply our every need according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus, we pray. And everybody who agreed said amen.
Amen.
All right. Thank you. Praise God. You may be seated. You may be seated. So let us go to John chapter 9, because I just believe that if the Spirit of God wants to go in a certain direction, we ought to follow him. Amen. That's the safe place. And if we find out that we thought we were following him, and we find out that we weren't, he won't get upset with us. He'll say, okay, did you learn anything? Yes, sir. Okay, don't do it again. Amen. And you keep on following him. Amen. Hallelujah. Never grow discouraged in your walk and relationship with God. Don't let setbacks and disappointments, don't let delays, which are not denials, get in the way and hinder you. Don't let nothing weaken you in your faith. You've got the greatest gift that God could give you, not only salvation, but he gave you faith. He dealt to every man the measure of faith. And what is it that the just shall live by? The just shall live by faith. So God gave you what's necessary for each and every one of us to live and to declare his glory. Hallelujah. So here we have the story of this man. Chapter 9, verse 1 in John. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from birth. And I believe, you know, Jesus was just, it's hard to put the words together in describing Jesus. But on the one hand, you have a man where he's lame and placed at the pool of Bethesda, which means kindness. And he comes up to this man and he asks him, do you want to be made whole? And the man gives him the reason for why he's in the state and condition that he's in. And then Jesus just commands him, rise, pick up your bed and walk. And then he comes to this next man. And this next man, he's been blind from birth. Now, the previous man, he's been in this condition for 38 years. That's a long time. Amen? How many of you are under 38? Show of hands. Well, all of those over there. Oh, okay. You got to heal my eyes. Yes. Heal my eyes. All of you are under 38. Okay. So, you know, that man was in that condition longer than you were born on this earth. And all of us over 38, we can look back and see and say, man, that's a long time to be in that state and in that condition and to have no help. And then to go to a place where you're hoping you could just get in, because if you know if you can get in, you can get healed and you can get made whole. And every time you make an attempt, I don't know how he got there, if families brought him there and sat him there and they didn't have patience to wait on him to get him next to the pool and, you know, as soon as they see the water stirring, push him in or something. I don't know what the situation is, because the scripture doesn't go into detail. All we know is that he sat there and the angel would come and stir the waters and he would try and make his way however he tried to. And someone would get in there before him. That's got to be discouraging, especially if he did that for 38 years. We don't know how long he did that. We just know that it was during certain feasts that the angel would come down and stir up those waters, and people's hope was in the angel coming to stir. And then the hope of glory shows up on this particular day and says, do you want to be made whole? Hallelujah. We don't have to wait for the angel to come down and stir the waters. I just want to know, do you want to be made whole? And I believe that God is saying that to his sons and daughters today. Do you want to be made whole? You don't have to sit back and wait 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 and wait. And somebody gets it before you and then you're mad and upset. When am I going to get, you know, you want to be made whole. And then Jesus gave him a command, rise up and walk. Now, he could have said, well, you know, you ain't got nothing better than that. You know, it was Naaman who came to the prophet after one of the servants who had been captured had told her, oh, if he just go see, there's a prophet of God. If he just go to them, I know my master would be healed because he had leprosy. And so when he finally made his way to the prophet said, go dip 7 times in the Jordan. He got offended. He got offended, upset, and he's like mad and walking away because he's expecting the prophet to come out and worship him and, you know, and just give him this wonderful sermon and do all of these wonderful things and just, bam, heal him and make him whole. And here he is. Well, I got to go to the Jordan. There's many other rivers out here. You know, that's some polluted water. That's dirty. Why I got to go over there? Why couldn't I go to one of these other ones over here? And somebody had to speak some sense into him. What if he said, you know, all he said was, dude, go dip 7 times. Hey, go check it out. See if it'll work. What you got to lose? That's me paraphrasing. And he goes out and he dips 7 times. And the scripture says, his skin becomes like a baby's skin, smooth. That's awesome. That's the God we serve. Hallelujah. And so Jesus is speaking to this man, and he's saying, do you want to be made whole? And, of course, he gives him that command, and that man gets up, and he takes up his bed and walks. And they're like, why are you doing that? Somebody told, this man told me. He told me, get up, take up my bed and walk, and I'm walking. He could have had an attitude. Is that all you got? He didn't even recognize who Jesus was, but the authority and power of his word ministered to him. And that same word is a word that you have in your hand on your electronic device, if you will. That same word is a word that you have so readily available. It's as common as being in your local Walmart. You could find a Bible in Walmart. It's in the hotel rooms. Throw the other one away. Praise God. Keep the word of God. Gideon puts a good one in there. Somebody else tries to get stuff in there. I used to be bad. I used to take it and throw it in the trash can. And so that's the situation. Later on in John chapter 5, verse 14, Jesus comes back to him, and that's when I was sharing with you. This past Sunday, he comes back and he says, you know, don't sin no more, lest the worst thing come on you. And so Jesus points out that he was in that state and condition because of sin. Something he did 38 years previously, some sin he committed, put him in that state and condition, and he had to live in that state for 38 years. Imagine being sentenced for all of those years, still having hope of one day being healed, because there were probably others like that. And I believe the point of that is not only Jesus has the power to heal, but it's unconditional. What do you mean it's unconditional? Because when Jesus spoke the words of healing, the words of life to him, he didn't tell the man, you need to repent. You need to get right. You need to ask the Father for forgiveness, you know, for the sins that you committed. He didn't even do that. It was only after the man was healed that Jesus says, okay, now don't sin no more, lest the worst thing happen to you. Because this is what sin will do to you. It will destroy you. We fast forward to John chapter 9. We see just a different scenario. Because now we see a man who's born from birth blind. He's blind at birth. And it says here, the disciples are asking him in verse 2, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Now, we don't know if is related to the other one, because Jesus told that man, you know, don't sin no more unless the worst thing happened to you. Or if it was just because it was a common thing that, you know, sin would bring about sickness and death. The curse of sin, the curse of the law was poverty, sickness, and death. And that's what they equated people's conditions to. If you were poor, it's because of sin. If you were sick, because of sin. If you died like a premature death, it was because of sin. And we know that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. But here you got a man who's been blind from birth, and now he's a man. So he's been blind all these years. So the disciples say, Lord, who sinned, him or his mama and daddy? And Jesus says, none of them. This one is for the glory of God. That one was to heal that man and also to be an example for others to know that our God is a healer. And it doesn't matter what we've done. None of us deserve it, even on our best day of obedience. None of us deserve the mercy, the grace, the love, the forgiveness, the kindness, the salvation that God so freely gives all of us. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. God can move in any situation, whether you haven't sinned or whether you have sinned. If you have sinned, it's not an invitation to keep on sinning. This is why Jesus says, go and sin no more. He told that to the woman that they brought. I believe it was the woman who was caught in adultery. And he says, where are your accusers? They're nowhere around, because Jesus said, let him who is without sin throw the first stone. All of them had to drop their rocks, and they began to walk away. And he's like, where are your accusers? They're not here. Go and sin no more. Because sin will bring about not only death, separation from God, but it also opens up the door for sickness and disease in our bodies. That's not condemnation. It's so that now that we're saved, we won't continue to live that same old lifestyle. Why am I going to open up the door for what Jesus has delivered me from? Does that make sense? Amen. You know, and we press. And things may happen in life, but we don't stop there. We get up, pick ourselves up. A righteous man, one in right standing and right position with God, he may fall 7 times, but God will raise him up. But it's not to continue in sin. It's not like sin brings grace. It brings separation from God. Your relationship will deteriorate quickly if you start living in sin. And if you never depart from it, you really don't have much of a relationship with God at all. You're just a technon. What's a technon, Pastor? You receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, but you're not letting him be Lord. So you call God your Father, but you're only that in just relationship in the sense that he is God, he is Father, and you got born again, but now you're living the lifestyle of sin. Am I opening up the door for sin? Certainly not. Because if you continue to live in sin, and this is not condemnation, this is not to try and make anybody feel bad. So don't nobody feel like, oh, woe is me, he's hitting on me. And that's all he talks about. This is the gospel, the power of the gospel. So if we continue in a lifestyle of sin, that's what separates us from God. And it lets us know we don't have a relationship with God. It's like Jesus says, this people, they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Now, in the honoring with the lips, sometimes we equate that as, oh, wow, how they love God. And it gives the appearance of a relationship, but there's no relationship whatsoever, because after those words, the life goes back on to doing what it normally does or what it desires to do. But we turn to God. And then as Hosea says in Hosea chapter 6, then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. We follow on. Tell your neighbor to follow on. Tell your neighbor to follow on. We follow on to know the Lord, to know him, to know him, to know him intimately, to know him personally, to know him relationally, not just he's God, I'm here. You know, it's no, he's Father. He's Abba Father. He's Abba Papa Daddy. We got a relationship going on here. We spend time together. It's not just ritual. It's relationship. We go from technon to weos. In the process of weos, we now take on his character. We take on his nature. We start to reflect and resemble him in our lifestyle. We don't even settle for the label of Christian. It's not false doctrine. We move into the relationship of sons and daughters of the Most High God. That's who we are. Sons and daughters of the Most High God in character. All creation, Paul says in Romans chapter 8, groans and travails, eagerly awaiting the adoption of the sons of God, the manifestation of the sons of God. Now we know that Paul's speaking future, in the future of when when we're changed to look just like him, and all things have like passed away as far as wickedness and as far as sin, creation itself is groaning for that glorious state of eternity where there's no devil, there's no sin, there's no hate, there's no bitterness, there's no earthquake, there's no famines, nothing. Everything is glorious, everything is bliss, everything is beautiful, everything is wonderful. And we don't even look for anything bad to happen. We don't save up for a rainy day anymore. There will be no more rainy days. It's all glorious. Creation is crying out for that. If it's crying out for that, for the sons of God to manifest themselves, how much more even now are the generations eagerly, you know, crying out, man, where is God? Man, when are things going to change? Man, is this real? Is this true? What about all of these other religions? What about all of these other faiths? What about all of the mess going on in the world? Man, when is this stuff going to stop? They're crying out for the sons and daughters of God to step up and tell them it's going to change. But right now, the change is going for the worse. But follow me, and I'll show you how things can change for the better by not only acknowledging God as God, but now coming into the relationship to where you now call him Abba Father, Papa Daddy, because you've been born of his spirit, and now you begin to bear the characteristics, the traits of his character, his integrity. We have no integrity. We have no reputation, nothing that we can be proud of or boast about. It's him and what he does in and through us. If Jesus could say this, how much more we should say it? When the rich young ruler came to him saying, good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? There's only one good, and that's God. If that's the mindset of Jesus, how much more should it be our mindset? People come up and compliment you and say you're good and you're this and you're that, and we welcome it, and we ought to be saying there's none good but God. Any goodness you see in me, it is only of God, by God, for God. Amen? Amen? Because he establishes his nature, his character, his attributes. The Holy Ghost is on the inside of us, producing love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, faithfulness, if you will, temperance. He's producing that within us. If we resist it, all kind of mess comes out of us. But that's the work of the Holy Ghost trying to produce the life of God in us. And if we follow on to know the Lord, it won't be hard. It won't be difficult. As I said, this walk is easy. I get that from Jesus because he says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Learn from me. He says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. In other words, living like this is a piece of cake, and you'll enjoy the icing too. It's nothing for us to brag about of ourselves. It's only him. If there's any good that you see, it is God. You see a man or a woman of God that is sincere in their walk and relationship with God, and you recognize, man, they walk with God like Enoch did. It's only God on the inside. On our own, our flesh would be acting up all out of sorts, doing anything and everything and never saying enough is enough. But in Christ, the anointed one and his anointing, he gives us peace that surpasses all understanding. He gives us love that goes beyond comprehension. He gives us joy unspeakable, full of glory. This is what the Father releases in us. In and through his Son, by the power of the Holy Ghost for each and every one of us. Are you receiving anything? Hallelujah. So we got two scenarios here. We got this man who was for 38 years in a situation where he was lame and could not move around on his own, and it was all because of sin. Then you got this man over here who was born blind, and he didn't do anything wrong. His mother and father did nothing wrong. But Jesus says, this one right here, this is for the glory of God. So in verse 3, I'm almost done. Neither hath this man nor his parents, but that the works, ergo, where we get our word ergonomics, works, the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, verse 6, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay. Some teachings say that when Jesus spit on the ground and made spittle, that he was actually forming the eyes for the man. Whether that be the case or not, a miracle took place. What he did was he spat on that ground and made some clay. And this is how they anointed in the Old Testament. They smeared the oil. They rubbed the oil on the person that was being anointed. And so Jesus put it on his eyes and then said, go. This is a miracle. What's the miracle? And said to him, go, excuse me, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. I don't know who got him to the pool, because it does not say. Born blind, got mud over your eyes, and you walk to the pool of Sent or Siloam. In obedience unto God, he washed and he comes back seeing. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. Last night, I'm going to wrap this up, but last night I had the privilege and opportunity of going to the hospital with Brother Kwame and Brother Deontay. Their dad's in the hospital. And I probably wouldn't have shared, but Brother Deontay put it out there on Facebook, what took place in the room. And it's for the glory of God. It's not for the glory of man. And so they were there with him, and I he had called me, texted me earlier in the day, asked and left me a voicemail also if I could come out there, and I told him I'd be there. And so I gave my word, and so after the meeting we had, went on out there and went into the room, and the glory of God fell in the room. It did. It fell. Brother Cromwell, you attest to that. Your wife is there too. Sister Latika, she was there. What say ye? What say ye? What say ye? Yeah. And your wife, is she in the room over there? I would ask, what say ye, but she's in the room. Can they hear me in there? Then are they doing this, or are they doing this? Inquiring minds want to know. Mija, what say ye? What say ye? See, she's like clueless. What's blah, blah. How was it? Okay. It was, amen. And that's not to brag or boast or anything like that. It's just to show that he's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. His dad was ready to get up out of that bed. He was moving and stuff like this, and he had never felt the presence or power of God like that. Led him in a rededication of his life to the Lord, and the sons of thunder were rejoicing, their wives were rejoicing, and God moved in the midst. And we say this not to brag or boast, but that you recognize what God is doing, and you gravitate to that. But you look at Sister Kathy, and you look at what God has done in and through her. She's become a preacher in her own right. When I say that, I don't mean it in the sense of she's calling herself, but I mean she's just taking it upon herself now to just release the word of the Lord and speak. And if you hear her praising now, I'm like, boy, praise God. She came in quiet, but now she's loud for the glory of God. Amen. Because of what Jesus did for her. Because of what Jesus did for her. Because of what Jesus did for her. Because of what Jesus did for him. And it's not to put them on blast, but he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, Jesus can heal a lame man who sinned and was bound for 38 years. Jesus heals this man. And he was born blind. Didn't sin, but he was born blind. And Jesus healed him. He did a different kind of a miracle. There are what's called the gifts of healings. It's plural. Many ways to heal. Sometimes he could lay hands. Sometimes he would speak a word. Sometimes he would cast out. And sometimes he just give that simple command, rise up and walk. But he manifests his healing power and glory. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the Lord and he changes not. So, Jesus heals a blind man. Jesus heals a lame man. Jesus cleanses lepers. Jesus is delivering people. How you doing, Sister Nicole? Let me ask you this. As far as your growth, as far as your walk in God, since you've come, it's not about us, but since you've come, has it gotten better? Are you growing? Are you getting stronger? Are you seeing the word that was given to you? Give it 3 months and you'll notice the difference. Are you seeing a change? Tons of battles. Are you winning? Glory. 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 This is happening in our midst and this is going on now. And we never want it to cease. These are things that are incentives to drive us into the secret place so that God could clothe us with himself the way he desires to. and use us to the capacity of which he desires to break off of us everything that life put on us. Whether we put ourselves in that place, in that situation ourselves, or whether it just happened to us. This is what you see. One sin brought it on himself. The other did nothing, but this happened to him. In both cases, Jesus heals. So we are without excuse, whether we've done it to ourselves or whether stuff just happened to us, Jesus can make us whole. Because when we're whole, we're at our best. When we're at our best, nothing can stop us. This is for the glory of God. No more weak Christians. No more weak saints. No more giving over to the flesh. No more giving over to the devil. No more defeats. Only victory in Christ Jesus. Stand on your feet and shout amen. Give the Lord a hand of praise. Magnify his name. Exalt the Lord with me. Come on, church. We're the church of the living God. Hallelujah. Woo! Release your fire and your glory in the lives of your sons and daughters. Complete the work that you have begun in us, Lord God. Set our hearts ablaze for you. Let none of us be the same any longer. Oh God, we don't settle for the title. We go for the position. Sons and daughters, no labels, position in Christ. We don't want to just be a technon Christian, a weos, bear the character, the nature, the glory of God, the glory of God, the glory. Oh, Jesus. Without you, we are nothing. Oh, but through our God, we shall do valiantly. I cover every person in the precious blood of the Lamb. Lord, you know every need. You know already what each one of us needs. And you're able to exceed what we have need of. So, Father, tonight, just minister to your sons and daughters. Let healing take place. Let chains be broken and yokes be destroyed. Yokes that life has put on us over the years. Yokes we put on ourselves by entangling ourselves in the affairs of the world. Yokes that we brought on ourselves even when we were not saved. Break it. Destroy it. Anoint us with fresh oil, fresh fire. Change our conversation. May the words of our mouths and the meditations of our heart be acceptable in your sight, for we live before you, we walk before you. And as you commanded Abraham, you are El Shaddai, and to walk before you blameless. Oh God, we receive that word because you are watching. Your eyes are upon the righteous, and you hear us when we call. So everything that we've done ourselves that brought stuff into our lives, stuff that we need to get rid of, tonight, Father, remove it as far as the east is from the west. Take it away. We don't hold on to it any longer. We let it go. Stuff that came upon us that we did nothing to deserve. Oh, God, get that yoke off of us too. Oh, we don't need to be messed up. Oh, God, that's not a reflection of you. You'll take a mess and you'll begin to speak divine order into it. So let your words speak into our lives. Bring healing and wholeness in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Kira, I want to ask you a question, not to put you on blast. First of all, can we pray for you tonight? I know you may have to go, and I know the hour's kind of late. I'm going to ask Pastor Lucia if she would come forward. And if you would come forward, if you don't mind. Amen. Look at Sister Kathy. She's ready to go. She's, yeah, praise God. Love you so much, Sister Kathy. You are going to be used in the kingdom of God for God's glory in a great way.